Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Praise the Lord. There was a young preacher that had been selected to pastor this church, and his opening sermon was about 2 hours long. Deacons came to him and said, "Listen, you know, we like you preaching, but you're just going way too long." He said, "Well, I don't know how to stop." He said, "Next Sunday, you put this lifesaver in your mouth. When that lifesaver's gone, it's time to end." Next Sunday, that preacher got up, young preacher got up, started preaching. He went over an hour. He went an hour and a half. He went 2 hours and finally quit. Deacon came to him afterwards. He said, "Did I not give you that lifesaver?" He said, "Yeah, it's still there." And he spit it out. He said, "Oh, it's a button." There was a point to that. Oh, isn't it wonderful to be here? Amen. We want to honor those that had given their lives for this great country. I have a video I want you to watch. And just remember that Memorial Day is not just about barbecue cookouts and hamburgers and steaks and all that. It's first about honoring the people that helped us have the freedom that we have today in this country. Now, Jesus is the true freedom giver. Amen. He gets all the glory, but he uses men and women in this nation, great nation, to get us there. Amen. So let's pause just for a moment.
We are a nation under God, and I believe God intended for us to be free. We must realize that no arsenal or no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. The price for this freedom at times has been high, but we have never been unwilling to pay that price. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. Their lives ended in places called Bellow Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom.
Oh,
Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have. We thank you for the brave men and women that gave the ultimate sacrifice, their life. And we ask your blessings upon all the families. Lord, may we do well in remembering their sacrifice. We love you and we worship you, and we are grateful for the freedom that you have given this great land. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go ahead.
Test. There we go. Okay. Sorry. That's a tough video to follow. For those who gave their last full measure of devotion, their very lives in defense of our country. Tomorrow, downtown Forest City at 11 a.m., we're going to be doing a ceremony honoring the fallen for Memorial Day. The Marine Corps League is involved. We're junior ROTC from RS Central will be coming to present the colors. As if you wish to come out, 11 o'clock downtown, that's the place to be. Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you. I want to thank you for your prayers for us during these 3 weeks of fighting a lot of this sinus stuff that we've been going through. Be praying for Brenda. She's not with me today. She had two root canals, and so she is in a little bit of pain and a little bit of swelling, but I told her to stay home and get rest, and so just pray for her and that she'll recover from this. And I want to talk to you today about, actually probably going to go a couple more Sundays after today. I want to talk to you about understanding faith. We need to have a better understanding than what we have. And during probably the last month, the Lord's sort of been taking me to task concerning faith. And part one is going to be the entrance of rest. The entrance of rest. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 4. But before that, I want to tell you a scripture that is in Luke 18:8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? So faith is pretty significant to Jesus, and he wants us to understand it, and he's actually looking for it when he returns, when he comes to earth. He's looking for faith. So it behooves us to know what faith really is and not what we have assumed it to be. And so I want to be one, and I want this congregation to be one. I want the whole body of Christ to be the place where he finds. Because, see, when he says, does he find the faith, he's searching for it when he comes. He's looking for it. He's looking for faith on this earth when he returns. And the question is, will he find it? Will he find it? And another passage that I want to talk about before we get to Hebrews 4 is over in Hebrews 11. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that actually means at all. It's impossible to please God at all without faith. Now, us being who we are, being born again, God is saying, I am pleased with you, it's who you are. When he said to Jesus, or made the announcements, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He had done no miracles when that came out. So he, being born again, he is pleased with who you are. But faith is pleasing him in our walk. Amen? And without faith, you won't be able to please him at all concerning your walk. So you may be born again, but if you're not walking by faith, then it's not pleasing to God in our walk. He says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. And for he who comes to God must believe that he is. He is what? He is God. Must believe that he is who he says he is, and he is God, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. That word rewarder means, it means that he will openly prove himself to be the rewarder. It's not just that he's the rewarder. It says the context of that verb rewarder, or the noun the rewarder. He said he will openly prove to you and to others that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. And so we must have faith in that. We must have faith that he is who he says he is, and he'll do what he said he will do. Over in Hebrews 4, it says this, therefore let us fear less while a promise remains of entering his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Seem to come short of it. This word fear means get to the place of being alarmed. Get to the place of being alarmed if you're not walking in a faith that proves him to be who he is. He said, do not distrust it. That thing also means you be alarmed if you're not trusting. Be alarmed if you're not walking in trust, in faith of him. And so he goes on and says, because there's a rest that we need to enter into. He said, entering his rest, any one of you should seem to come short of it. So you can come short of rest. Amen? You can come short of the rest. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, talking about the children of Israel, just as they also. But the word that they heard did not profit them. The word that they heard did not profit them. Why? Because it was not united by faith, listen to these words, in those who heard. In those who heard. He goes on down and he said, well in this first couple of verses, you see that there's a promise, there's a rest, there's a coming short, and there's an entering in, and there's faith. You see all that in these couple of verses. And he's teaching us that it's not just a promise of rest. It is every promise has a rest that goes with it. Every promise has a rest that goes with it. When it has faith mixed with it that is inside you. That is inside you. Faith is not a verb. Faith is a noun. Faith, see, we think sometimes that we have to work up faith. You can't work up faith. Faith is given to us, and he says, have the faith of God. And the Bible says, have faith in God. The original says, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. Your faith is given to you in measure. Your faith is who you are becoming. Our walk is by faith. We don't have to work up faith. Faith is a noun. Having faith in God of who he is, who he says he is, and he's going to do what he said he'd do, that is what you have become inside you to be able to walk in. Because we walk by faith, not by sight. Not by what we see, but by what we know. Does everybody understand that? See, we try to work up and try to scheme up and try to, make sure get enough faith. No. Faith is something that's already given to you. You and I are not using it like we should use it. Faith is what causes us to work. Faith is what causes us to work. Without your faith, without works, because of faith, is what? It's useless. Someone say, well, I have faith. Well, is faith causing you to work out what you have faith in? See, the works of that comes from faith is because we have such a faith and a belief in God that works is a byproduct of our faith. Not work to get faith. Y'all got it. You know, so it's not something that we work to attain. It's something that he gives by measure. He gives us a measure of faith. Romans 7, he gives us a measure of faith. And then when he says have faith in God, he actually said have the faith of God. Can you imagine us trying to come up with faith our own self? And he says, no, I'm giving you the faith. I'm giving faith of God. What's the faith of God? He spoke and it became. He said, the same faith, he said, I want to give you the faith of God. And that's what he's given us. Being born again, that's what he's given us. We, like I said, we try to work it sometimes, but he goes on and he says, he talks about, we who have believed do enter that rest just as he said. And I have sworn with wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the earth. And he's talking about, you know, the children of Israel they obtained the land, but they didn't obtain rest. The problem, you know, and sometimes we get confused and call and sort of say, okay, the promised land is like heaven. No. Let me tell you a little bit about the promised land. The promised land, when they got there, all their enemies was there. When I go to heaven, I don't want all my enemies to be there. Y'all get it? They obtained the land that God promised, but there were still enemies there. But it's not, the promised land is not heaven. It's not like heaven to us. I don't want them to be laying and waiting for me when I enter in the pearly gates and all that, and all of a sudden, I'm waiting on you, pal. I'm the enemy. No, my enemies are going to be done with. Right? Amen? But see, they obtained the land, but they didn't obtain the rest. See, it says about Joshua over in the same chapter. He said, for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. He wouldn't have spoken of rest another day after that, but he did. David spoke about it. About in Psalm 95, it talked about entering into a rest. Genesis talks about entering into a rest. And here's the thing about entering into a rest. See, God did not create a day of rest because he was tired. He wasn't tired and he wasn't weary. His rest, the Sabbath rest that he talks about, and by the way, that this is not talking in Hebrews 4, this is not talking about a Sabbath day rest. He's talking about a Sabbath rest. There still remains a Sabbath rest for his people. That's what the Bible says. A resting, a confidence. I am assured. It's concrete. It's in concrete to me. God is who he is. He'll do what he said he would do. And he'll do it, as Joshua said when he gathered them up when he was going to cross the Jordan. He said, you're going to know that God is your God. You're going to know that God is with you, and he will do what he says without fail. Without fail. He won't fail. God will not fail you. He is without fail. He's without failure. Amen? But we'll say, God, why? See, we need to say, I'm with you. Whatever this is, I'm with you. See, he wants you and I to rest in the midst of storms, in the midst of trials, and he wants us to have confidence in him that it is in me. I don't have to work it. Just have to say, yes, God. We said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Well, here's the thing about our faith. You know, our faith in him will be a Sabbath rest. It will lead you to a Sabbath rest in every promise that he has given. In other words, you cease from your works. But faith causes you to work. You cease from trying to create it yourself. You cease from having to make it work yourself. He says, you cease from that. Why? Because you're resting in his works that faith produces. See, faith will cause you to work, to do the things that your faith is saying do. Yes? Is it getting through? Well, you know, here's the thing about it. Again, some people are wondering, what in the world is this? Well, here's the thing about it. What does faith come? And he said, well, he gives it to us, but how does it come? What does it say? Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Now, this word, the word of God, is not this. It's not the logos. It's the rhema. It is what he tells you about this. It's what the Holy Spirit is revealing to you as you read the scriptures. That's the rhema. It is through the, you can read it, doesn't make you saved. You can read it, it doesn't make you mature. But as he illuminates, that's the rhema. As he illuminates the logos, as he brings revelation to you, faith comes when he begins to tell you about it and what that means to you. Does that make sense? But it comes by, let's see what we got here. It comes by hearing. Let's see. Thanks to Mr. Duncan, we have a big old stump here. And let's see. Pastor John, come on up here and help me just a minute. I heard him singing, if I had a hammer. No, not really. I didn't hear him saying that. Here's some nails. I want you to start each one of those nails with any hammer that you choose. See, the Bible says that God's word is like a hammer. Now, there's a time that he uses his hammer to crush things that are in your way. And there's a time when he'll use the hammer to drive the point. And when you go ahead and start some of those. Right, that's good. See if you can get some of those others. Oh, don't hit your finger. All right, thank you, brother. Give him a hand. He's doing good. Now, see, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, by the rhema, by the freshness that God gives by the Holy Spirit to illuminate what you just read on the page. That's when you get excited about something. You know, I know people that read the Bible, but they don't know God. Right? Why? They haven't been willing to receive what God wants to put in. So they try to work up a faith, and it doesn't work. So here we have some little bitty nails, and this little bitty one right here represents our children, our little ones in the nursery. Gina, you're going to come up and pick your hammer of choice. I know you'll want this one. No, come on up. And see, what happens is, see, what they're doing when we have the little ones in here, we don't just say, okay, we're just here to take care of your children. We are going to take care of them, but what we're going to do is we're going to take, and hit that one, We're going to keep great. You want to drive it all the way in. Look. Thank you. Once that's driven in, it becomes part of the stump. It's driven in. It comes in. Entrance has been made, and it becomes part of who you are. That's the noun part of faith. There's no working that. There's work from that. Does that make sense? It causes you, because you have received that rhema, you've received what God's told you about, and you have allowed it to be driven inside you to be overwhelmed with who he is. Then you have other teachers. Who's another teacher? Come up. Who's some of our teachers? So somebody come up real quick. John's a teacher. Mark's a teacher. Terry's a teacher. I'm calling out names. I'm gonna start taking addresses in a minute. Okay, go and see. Just tap away. That's good. See, John used it. Come on up, Mark. Mark, come on up. Who else teaches? Who else has been used of God to impart faith to the little ones? Mary Kiggins. Come, where is she, Mary? What is Mary? Oh, Mark. Mark nailed it down. See it? Yep. Nailed it down. All right. Yeah. Hey, just go ahead and get the big one. All right, good. So just tap away just a little bit. All these people that God is sending in your life to be able to say, wait a minute, let the Holy Spirit use me to tell you what this means. See, faith becomes a part of who you are. Yeah. Pick. Oh, you want to use this big one? No. Oh. Oh, see, you got glasses. She hit it on the left and she hit it on the right. Stand up, sit down, fight. Okay, look. All right, look, it's in. Now, man, I wish I had another nail. Anyway, that's what God is in the process of doing from the little ones. Sherry teaches the little children, Sunday school. What she's doing, just tapping away, putting rhema inside the little ones. So as they grow, they grab the essence of what faith is, and then they become, watch this, they become faith-filled. They become faithful, full of faith, full of something that God has put in and something you don't have to work up, you work from. Oh, this makes me so happy, because there's rest in his promises when we are able to do this. See, this thing here, I wish the thing's a little bit too, I asked him for a stump, and it was a last minute, asking for a stump, you know, something like that. And he said, well, you know, and I called him last night, and he said, well, you believe in short notices. And I said, no, I believe in you. You know, but see, this thing, just to drive this home, and then we've got other things to do. One thing, faith. Faith is a noun that activates your works. It means to be won over with full and firm persuasion. I am fully persuaded. Listen to Mary. Mary said, the angel of the Lord said, you're going to bring forth a child. And she's a virgin. And the angel says, nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, watch this, the bondservant of the Lord, be it done unto me as you have spoken. What was spoken? The rhema was spoken. And she said, be it done. You know what that means? It means that when this is driven, and if we could have, we would have been able to tip it over. And it said, this thing about faith, when it gets in you, you can, watch this, you can hang your being on it. That's what Mary did. She hung her being on the word that was given to her. She didn't say, well, that's a good saying. I don't know how that's going to work. No, she said, let it be. I agree. Let it be unto me as you have spoken. Let it be. That's faith. Let it be it unto me as you have spoken. As the rhema has come to me, let it be. Jesus hung on the nails. His confidence in his Father was, I'll do this. And he let his body hang on the confidence of who his Father is and what his Father said. Our faith has to be at that place. Oh, he went and got some more nails. Look at Charlie. He went and got some more nails. We really need to close. But Charlie, you're a good man. I don't care what nobody says. Nobody's saying anything. You know, but you see, you have these things all around, you know, and faith begins to happen. And once it gets there and it's able to hold up, you're able to just watch this. It's able to, hey, I can hang my being on what he just said. So that's who you are. That's who you are. I hang who I am on the entrance of his word coming in me. And that is the faith of God. Isn't that right? And he wants us to have the faith that is worthy of us hanging our flesh on it. Hanging our body, hanging our being on what God said. That means when the troubles come, that means when the trials come, and that means when the flood starts rising, that means you have to say, nope. This is where I'm at. This is me. I'm hanging right here. Why? Because God said it. And I believe it. And this is where I'm going to stand. See, faith is a standing place because you already have it. But see, we have to allow the rhema, the freshness of God's word to enter in. You have to be open to it. We have to hear it. You have to hear the Spirit begin to explain things to the Scriptures and breathe the life. Because his word said, he said, his word is what? Living. It's a living word. It's living when the Holy Spirit begins to just illuminate it and you're saying, ah, and you're able to. So which promise have you not been settled with? See, the Bible says over in Acts 16 that the church is established in faith. Established. This right here is established. This right here is like, okay. That's established. It's part of me. It's who I am. And there's other parts that we're saying, I don't know. Maybe this one will bend. Maybe I'll pull this one out. No. Just let the word keep working and let the revelation keep coming and let it be established. And then you'll be established in faith. You don't have to work it up. You just say, oh, I've nailed down for me. God said it. That's all there are to it. Somebody said, God said it. I believe it. And what? And what? And that settles it? No. Whether you believe it or not, God said it. That settles it. You get a choice. You get a part to say, yes, let it be done to me as you've spoken. Amen? Okay. I hope you don't have to cut on this thing anymore because we've got some metal inside that now. Bible says that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. Isn't that wonderful? There's another one that I'll give to you real quick, and then we'll move on. This thing with fight the good fight of faith. Hear this. fight the good fight. First one's a verb, second one's a noun. Well, this will blow your mind. Fight the good fight of faith. See, we think we just gotta get, we gotta work this faith. No, no. Fight means to be engaged with what you already know. Being engaged with what you already know. And it says the good fight. The second word fight is a place of conflict. That fight is a place of conflict. He said, be engaged with what you already know in the place of conflict. And then he says, this thing about good, this will be, I mean, this is beautiful. Listen to this. This thing about good is a mark of beautiful, of beauty. Good is a mark of beauty. You want to know how this verse reads? It is a thing of beauty to see you openly engage with your faith in the place where your enemy opposes you. It is a thing of beauty to the Lord and to all. It's a thing of beauty to see you engage in what you know with God and your faith in God openly when the enemy opposes you. Let me ask you this. Does the enemy oppose you? Absolutely. So what does he say? Fight the good fight. He said, openly engage. Openly engage with what you already know. Take your faith with you and begin to say, no, I'm not believing that nonsense that you're telling. I'm not gonna let this conflict take me to a place that God isn't. He loves us enough to tell us all about it. Amen. Amen. Do you want that faith? I do too. Did you learn anything today? We're going to be talking more. We got something else to cover. But understand that faith is vitally important to us. It's not something you work up. It's something you work from. But we've got to be able to hear what he's telling us and nail it down and be assured that God is. Amen. Amen. Everybody take a deep breath. Boy, that was good eating. We have an announcement to make, and I want you to pause just for a moment. We have an announcement to make, and I'm going to ask Pastor Russell to come up and share with us just a minute.
They got quiet all of a sudden.
Yeah.
One announcement, June 13th, we're going to be honoring our graduates. So if you have not signed up, you got a high school or college graduate, sign up at the Information Center. We're going to be honoring them on the 13th. I'm going to borrow your Bible for just a second. So now what I'm going to do from that announcement is turn a page. Everybody with me? Okay. So turning of the page, and some of y'all are looking like, what is he talking about? Just to get this quickly out, my wife and I have been praying for a couple of years, and we are going to be transitioning from Father's Vineyard to whatever God has for us next. So I know some of y'all are like, what? I've been here 28 years serving in youth ministry. My wife's been here 31 years. And I'm going to tell you as church family how we came to this decision. As I say, we've been praying for a while and consistently serving in the ministries that God's called us to. And I asked the Lord, I said, well, you know, why would I leave? Why would I ever transition? Why would I stop this work and go to anything else? Why would I do that, Lord? And the Lord very clearly, very plainly told me, he said, son, you're asking the wrong question. How many of y'all would like to know what the right question is? If the Lord says, you're asking the wrong thing, what's the right thing? So I turned that page. And the Lord said, you need to ask, why would you stay? Good question. And I would say that's for all of us. Why would you stay in what you're currently doing? It's not a bad thing to ask those questions. And here are the two words the Lord gave me. Fear and comfort. And I'm like, and we know fear is not of God. I get that. But I had to come to a place and acknowledge why I would stay is out of fear. Because you see, I've been married before. I've gone through a divorce. Well, Lord, if I transition to another church, there are churches who would not let me serve and be in leadership because I have been married before. Right or wrong, that can't be why I stay, out of fear. Comfort is pretty easy. Man, I've been here 28 years serving in youth ministry, and people ask me even now, man, you're almost 60. You're still hanging out with teenagers? And yeah, still am. And still love our youth, love everything about it, love our kids. But again, fear and comfort is not a reason to stay. So again, after lots and lots and lots of prayer, Michelle and I met with Pastor John, Miss Faye, to get counsel, to seek advice. We weren't going out talking this up in the community. We wanted to know from godly counsel, hey, are we missing it? God, examine our hearts. If there's anything wicked in us, let us know. Let us know if we're totally off the mark. And Pastor John's first comment was, you can't go. Okay. But he said, no, if you're hearing the Lord, then you need to. And so then we met with Pastor Terry and Miss Brenda twice. And Pastor Terry's exact words were, wow, that was not on my radar. And so, again, met with Pastor John and Miss Faye, met with Terry and Brenda a couple of times. And then, so we came to the point where, well, what kind of time frame are you looking at? So I said, well, the end of June or end of July, realizing that the end of July is probably a better fit. So we will be here to the end of July. We're not making this announcement and you won't see me again. So because acknowledging being in youth ministry, being in the media, there are transitions from one thing to another that have to take place. And so I'm here to help do that and make that transition. So then we got to meet with the elders, and because this is the thing to do it right. And I appreciate Pastor Terry allowing us to do this correctly. But to let you know how my week went, Monday, I got to do this speech three times. With the staff, with the elders, and then we brought in Rita and Randy. And then Wednesday, I got to do it one more time. I got to do it with our media team and our youth leaders. So I thought, you know, the elders said, well, what do you want us to say when people ask us? And I said, I'll just print out some cards. And when anybody asks, you just hand them a card or read it verbatim to them, because, again, this is my heart. And so, again, Pastor John said no. Pastor Terry said it wasn't on his radar. Pastor Charlie said, well, he threatened, actually, to lock me and my wife in prison. He did promise food. Lee Moss threatened lassos and ropes. And, you know, so...
Rita.
What?
Rita.
Oh, that's right. Rita. Rita's not here today. Rita actually threatened physical violence. She said, tears in her eyes, she said, I'm going to hit you. I am going to hit you. Now, some people, you hear that and you laugh, and it really... It speaks volumes to me of relationships. You know, when I met with the media team and the youth leaders, that means shock, you know, tears and this kind of thing. I would rather it be that way than we're leaving, see you, bye, drop the mic. Because there are relationships. So my prayer is that this will leave a hole, and that's not acknowledging, not saying, oh, look what Russell has done. It's acknowledging that anybody who is serving, when you transition from one thing to another, it leaves a hole. But here's what it does also. It opens up a vacancy for someone else who is called to that position to step up and say, you know what? I'll serve. Man, I would love to do that. I would love to be part of that. I'd love to be part of the media team. I would love to help out with teenagers. I would question your sanity with teenagers, but, you know... But again, I've had the honor to serve in youth ministry for 41 years. 28 of that was here at this church. Again, we'll be here through the end of July. And pray for us. Because Pastor Terry reminded me this week that Abraham did not know where he was going. when he stepped out and was called out. But we can't find what that next thing is if we're continuing to be here and connected here. So I covet your prayers. Questions, not now. You can ask us some other time. But again, thank you. I'll continue to say that. Pastor Terry is also going to allow me to preach again in July. And so pray for that message, because I really believe in my heart. My wife and I were praying last night that it will be a word for this house, for this season, during this transition. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
Radar.
Radar. Hang on. Amen. They're saying yay. We're glad. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Big transition for him, big transition for the church. We are already in the process of putting together a transition team here in the house to find people, find it may be a man, maybe a woman, maybe a couple. We don't really know. We're just really seeking God. But we're gonna put together some couples that have children that are either there or about to go down there, so they can have input with who's going to be, you know, pastoring their children. And but we're already having plans. The elders already stepped up. We've already met, and we've already begun the process, so we don't lose any time. But I want to settle this. Nothing's wrong. Nothing. There's no cloud. Nothing's wrong. This is something that you know, God is doing in their life, and we want everybody to do what God wants to do in their life. You know, because listen, the thing God told me a long time ago when I took the senior pastor job here, he said, "You hold my people." He didn't call them my people. He said, "You hold my people this way, not this way." And so if they're here, we minister to them. But if they're called to go and do something else, then you allow them to go do that and not hang on to them. What about, you know, so you don't do that. A lot of times, when you see some of these things happen, like he had mentioned a little bit before, is like, okay, well, you know, we'll just try to work everything, all the details out, and then we'll announce to the church the day you leave, and that's the only. No, we decided, okay, we've been praying for couple of weeks over this. Nope, that's not the best way to honor them. It's not the best way to honor you. And so we got everybody in line with the elders, the staff, and the teams that he's over to be able to communicate to them, because they needed to hear it from him first before they heard it in here in the congregation. And so it's just a thing about honor. And they're going to be here for two months in this transition. They're going to be helping us make the transition here, and we'll help them make their transition as well. And then sometime in July, he'll speak, and we'll have a celebration service of appreciation for him and Michelle and the family. So we just want to make sure that we do it the right way and give honor. Amen? So with that being said, just know for sure that it's not something that, you know, we're not actively working on. We're already actively working on it, and we'll start even more so this coming week. Since it has been announced to everybody. And I will say, great job, and proud of you. I really am. And we've walked a long way. So he's been turning pages, so we've got some pages to turn as well. So we're going to be doing that. And just be easy, you know, just relax. Don't bombard them after the service today. They'll be here for 2 months, you know. So be... You know, say, have questions. I'm not saying you can't talk to them. Talk to them, but you've got 2 minutes to do that. Does everybody understand that? So we want to make sure that we honor them and respect their time as well. Okay? All right. Let's stand together. See, transition is good. When God begins to move things around, look out, because greatness is about to happen. Greatness is about to happen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love, your life. Thank you so much for Michelle and Russell and their family. We just ask your blessings upon them. And Lord, may these next 2 months be something that is honorable to you and honorable to this house and to this couple. And Lord, may we see your best chasing us down to captivate us with what you're about to do next. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.